Well, in case you missed it from the weekend, indeed, the $237 billion budget has passed up in the state capital. It's a 35% increase from the state's last pre-COVID budget. That was, what, $175 billion or so in 2019. And here to discuss is Mr. Charles Levine, the fine New York State Assemblyman out of the 13th District. Chuck, it is always great to have you here. And 19 days late, but they got one of the books. Talk to me. How are you?
Good morning, Jay. I'm doing fine, and I hope all is well with you, my friend. And thanks so much for the invitation, and hoping all is well with all of your listeners. And thanks again. So, yes, we have adopted a budget several weeks late, but nonetheless, it is a budget that meets the needs of the people of the state of New York. And while it is considerably larger in when compared to the pre-COVID budgets that we had, I think that the COVID crisis is a challenge that we are still fighting to recover from. And the money that's being spent is being spent to make sure that essential services provided by the state of New York continue. And that includes record-setting amounts of money for education for Long Island and the rest of the state. That's public education, both in our SUNY systems and in our public education systems, which are a major tax consideration and responsibility and liability, might be a better way to put it, for each and every person who owns real property in Nassau and Suffolk counties. So I'm pleased that this has been accomplished, and it contains also some really good things. And for those of us like you and me and many of your listeners who enjoy and learn from local journalists, these are our community newspapers that publish generally on a weekly basis, money has been set aside, and that amount of money is $26 million, to help to make sure that those independent newspapers can survive. We have lost nearly 200 local newspapers in New York over the course of the last couple of years, and in large measure, that is because of the COVID crisis, but we need those sources of information to tell us what's going on in our communities. Not to go on and on about this, but there was a time when Newsday and the New York Times used to cover local news on Long Island. But those days are long gone. Those days were gone even before the COVID crisis. But we need to keep our citizens informed, and local journalism is the best way to do that. This was a real battle, but I'm glad that we were able to include this in the budget. And another matter that's of great importance to me, as head of the Judiciary Committee and as someone who lived in our courts, both our state and federal courts, actually from the time I was not much more than a kid, we have a provision for judicial security. We know that our judges, and I'm not speaking specifically with reference to the Trump trial, although that is certainly part of it, our judges are subject to a lot of criticism. And unfortunately, Judge Esther Salas, a United States District Court judge in New Jersey's home, was invaded by a disgruntled lawyer who had a gun, who murdered her son and wounded her husband very, very seriously. And when I say very seriously, I'm talking about the wound to her husband. Obviously, the murder of the child was sufficiently serious in and of itself. But our judges, both our federal judges and our state judges in New York, will now be able to have their identifying information removed from the Internet. And this was a real battle, and I'm very, very pleased that that was finally included in our budget.
Oh, I think that's a great thing. There's no question. You must keep that type of information silent. We've seen some horrific incidents, Chuck, over the years, without question. And absolutely, as far as journalism is concerned, it's so important to keep getting a local take on things. You know, I mean, our radio show, the reason why it gets so much attention is because we do focus on the local aspect of things. You just don't have that anywhere else. You know, we cover everything, state, national, obviously, international as well. But, you know, without that local feel, that connection that you can give to the viewer, the listener, then you really are missing the boat as far as the overall category of journalism is concerned. So I applaud the fact that that was taken up and discussed and put in without question. Here's my problem, though. You are a man. Go ahead, my friend.
Oh, no. I interrupted you.
I was going to have you comment on that. Yeah, no, it's all right. But here's my biggest issue, and you are a man of reason beyond, and that's why we love having you on. It's great the budget was passed, albeit 19 days late. No problem there. We've seen it in the past. Sometimes it's all about negotiation and trying to nail down things. Here's my biggest disappointment. Education, obviously, was key. It's a good thing. With all that money now that has been put into play. The biggest problem is what has happened to our judicial system? Not in the sense of protection of these judges, but allowing these judges to figure out if somebody is deemed to be in a positive nature of going back into society. And we go back all the time, Chuck, you know, that word dangerous and everything else is not allowed. And I say that after the murder of a police officer last month in Far Rockaway, Queens, in which two individuals should never have been allowed back on the street. After the back and forth that went on, I thought for certain there was going to be some sort of reparation regarding the laws, and there wasn't. Very disappointing to me. That, to me, almost overrides everything good that's in the budget with pensions and retail theft and everything else. We'll get into that in a second. But why not even the slightest of consideration here is beyond me.
And you're speaking about the slightest of consideration, Jay, just to be clear, about people being released from jail when they should not be released from jail when they're sentenced,
yes,
prisoners. Because I share
that. It goes back
many levels. Many levels. And
okay.
The challenge is going to be this. And it is a challenge. And this is certainly complex. And as we know, the denial of complexity is the essence of tyranny. I wish that was my line. It was not. It was Jacob Burckhardt's line almost 200 years ago. Those matters that are so serious require a lot more consideration and intense discussion than we're able to accommodate in the budgetary process. New York, one of the more complex states in terms of size, the amount of its budget, population, and is very similar to many of the other complex major states. The budgetary process has become the end-all and be-all for serious negotiations. But there's only so much you can accomplish in a short period of time without having a budget that that fails, that it's not on time. And just as an aside, and I'm going to come back to this issue of criminal justice, which is something that you and I both care deeply about.
Sure.
The budget also included very elaborate and intense provisions that would allow for more development of apartments and homes, primarily in the metropolitan area, in the city of New York, where the vacancy rate is staggeringly low. The vacancy rate is 1.4%. So I don't want to discount or not reference the efforts that were made that resulted in developers now being able to continue to develop, which is terribly important. Back to criminal justice. I spent many, many years representing defendants in complex criminal cases. And I also had the unique opportunity to represent major cooperators and informers on the federal level, which was a fascinating life's experience. But yes, could we do a much better job, and must we do a much better job? of making sure that people who are in jail are able to comply with safety of all our community members once they're released. No question about it. No question. I think that has always been the case, and unless and until we are ready, willing, and able to spend the money that needs to be spent to examine and analyze what makes these folks who are going to be released tick, that is including psychological reports to make sure that they are fit for release, we are going to face this problem for a long time, and this problem is exacerbated, made intensely worse by the fact that people who should never be near a firearm under any circumstance are able to get their hands on these firearms. Now, I don't want to go too far astray, but I do know this. And Jay, I may be a little more conservative when it comes to some of these issues than are some of my my colleagues, and I think that's certainly the case. But very often, too often, when there are incidents that involve law enforcement officers having to use their firearms, those law enforcement officers are as frightened as you and I are. But they will not admit it. This is not part of their mindset, and I can understand that and appreciate and even respect that. But they have to be deathly frightened of the fact that anyone they may encounter, anyone they may stop, even on for a traffic violation, may be armed and may be ready, willing, and able to engage in shootouts with our police officers. So we have a lot of challenges, but that's part of democracy. And let me return just for a moment this question that we were discussing about journalism and how important a role you play in your state, your radio station plays. Democracy requires a public that has the ability to know what's going on in their communities. So these are our challenges, and the challenges of government should not be underestimated. On the other hand, and please stop me when I'm going off on a complete tangent. On the other hand, it is the best system of government that we have, and we can always fault it. That's what our First Amendment is all about. But I think that we have to say that American democracy does function, doesn't function as quickly as we would want it to function, but we cannot give up on it. And one of my fears today is that too many people have simply given up on democracy. That's a challenge. But betting against democracy has
Chuck,
been
we never
idea.
Want to. No, listen, I agree with you. And we have that in this country. I mean, that's what the foundation is built upon. The problem is democracy, in my estimation, Chuck, only goes to a certain point, because you must have some common sense put into play here. And I agree with everything you said, okay? Because communication is the key to life. If we can't discuss these issues, we don't have anything. It's the same thing as far as what goes on in Albany by trying to nail down a budget. You have a group of people looking to negotiate and basically putting hopefully the best interests in play here is the people of the state. And that's where I'm kind of losing it a little bit, especially when it comes to a guy like the assembly leader in Carl Hastie, who gave you a couple of sound bites a few weeks ago by saying he doesn't believe incarceration leads the way to deterrence. And that kind of lost me a little bit, especially after the officer lost his life, Jonathan Diller, to an individual who should never have been allowed on the streets. Between those two individuals in that car, 35 prior arrests, 9 felonies, 15 years between them of incarceration. It comes to a point where rehabilitation just doesn't work anymore. And sometimes you just have to move on. That's kind of my biggest problem here, because when I look at everything involved, I look at immigration, I look at crime, 1 and 2, the economy as well. Those are what things people care about. I look at immigration in the state of New York. when the governor sets aside some $2.4 billion for the crisis, when I look at the criminal aspect as far as what's happening in the state, yes, it's a good thing the attacking of retail theft and everything else in play, illegal cannabis shops, listen, I understand it. But when it comes to criminal activity to the max, I don't think we're doing enough against Chuck. And that's one of the biggest faux pas, I think, in all this. When you have a leader of the assembly, one of the most powerful guys in the state, in Carl Hasty, who just is not on the same page as common sense thinking, that's where I kind of lose it a little bit.
So let me say this. And if I was a good politician, if I was a wily politician, I wouldn't say anything about Carl Hasty's comments. But we may be taking them a little bit out of context, because what the speaker said was during the debate on whether there should be enhanced punishments for retail theft, he said, perhaps not as artfully as we would like, but he said he didn't know that increasing, he tended to doubt that increasing the penalties for retail theft would be much of a deterrent. I have always found Carl Hasty to be a realist and to be very pragmatic. And he represents a district which is, in many ways, even though it is in the Bronx and in that Gun Hill Road area, but it's a district that's full of small homeowners and shop owners and people struggling to be part of the American dream. And as you will, as you know, and as the listeners should know, that this debate over enhancing penalties, even for retail theft. And assault on retail workers did end up in the budget, and that required some pretty skilled negotiations on the part of the speaker. So I have a lot of respect and admiration for Carl Hasty. In some ways, I think that we have to look to him, and we do look to him for leadership. And the assembly is composed of 150 people. Less, depending on whether anybody's indicted and convicted on any given day. But of those 150, it's approximately 103 or 104 Democrats who are in control of the and rule in the state assembly. That's part of democracy. And I have to tell you that, not to go out of my way to criticize some of my colleagues on either side of the aisle, but we've got a few zanies. Yeah. In that Democratic conference. But there's also a few zanies in the Republican conference as well. So what we end up doing in democracy is fighting to advance the goals of protecting people. I'm very proud to share with you that I was one of the people who fought for enhanced penalties for retail theft, because I have seen this in person. And I know how intimidating and frightening this can be. So we're making progress. We cannot give up on democracy. And I think that that's one of the issues that's involved with what happened at Binghamton University in terms of the student protests and what we're seeing at other schools like Columbia. That I know is of interest to you, Jay.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it, and that leads us into that. Let's just say we agree to disagree a little bit regarding Hasty. Let's never forget again that we got to have these continued types of discussions, Chuck, because without them, we really have nothing. And if we continue to discuss, at least we have the hope of coming to some sort of a median as far as a negotiation is concerned. But let's get into this whole thing with the colleges and everything else. I know you have been very, very front and center regarding what happened in Binghamton and everything else. The association there, the Student Association, passed a resolution that stops the organization from doing business with any companies that financially support the Israeli government. I know you've been working very hard. By the way, Chuck, also the president of the National Association of Jewish Legislators, New York, chapter and assembly member, David Weprin, I believe his name is, they've sent a letter to the SUNY chancellor John B. King in response to all that's going on there. We have seen a lot of episodes at some of these elite colleges, Chuck, you know. I mean, Columbia, Yale. I mean, it goes on and on. Claudine Gay and Harvard. I mean, University of Pennsylvania. It goes on and on and on. My goodness. It just doesn't stop, especially with what's going on at Columbia the last couple of days. Give me a sense.
I'm sorry. I lost the last thing you said.
I was just saying, with all that's been going on, I know you've been at it with Binghamton and everything else, but certainly we have seen so much going on with Columbia, all these elite colleges. It's very sad to see a lot of this garbage of protesting and everything else, to the point now where Jewish students are fearful as far as their own being as on their everyday lives. So give me a sense of what you see here.
Civil rights, which we all value and should value, no matter where we are on the political spectrum, begins with the word civil, which means we relate to each other in a civil fashion. I am afraid that what has occurred at many of these universities, including the elite universities, the so-called elite universities, which is always a description that I find unsettling. But what has happened is that people who are trying to make a political point deserve to be able to make a political point and do it civilly. That's through discussion, through communication. But there are, amongst the folks who are involved in these uncivil actions at some of these universities, there are those who are protesting because they believe that the Israeli government is being excessive, overly excessive, in the way it's attacking Hamas. And we know that more than 30,000 people have died in Gaza. Of that amount, a hefty percentage, I'm not sure exactly how many, but probably a third were Hamas soldiers. And these are the same folks who were involved in the primitive barbarity of the attack on civilians in Israel on October the 7th. And that's fair. I mean, people should be able to express their concern with the conduct of our ally Israel. That's America. We're allowed to talk about that stuff. But some of the folks who have been involved in these encampments in places like Columbia are there not out of any sense of American civil rights or civility. They are there because they actively back Hamas. We've seen this in too many of the protests. So Columbia has finally taken it upon itself to call in the New York City Police Department to assist and to protect students. As a matter of fact, today I understand that classes at Columbia are not going to be conducted in person, but will be conducted only over the internet. Mayor Adams issued yesterday a lengthy powerful statement condemning abuses of civil rights by some of these students and so-called students, because not all are students, who are involved in these violent protests that threaten and intimidate not just Jewish students, but students who may have no political opinion whatsoever about what goes on in the Middle East, and others who may very well, even though they're not Jewish, support the State of Israel. State of Israel is not going away. And I think that the sooner a lot of people understand and realize and appreciate that, the better off we will be in the Middle East. America cannot give up on Israel. And Israel, when it makes mistakes, is still our ally and involved in an existential fight to be able to protect its citizens, not all of whom are Jewish. And Israel is certainly the most diverse nation in the Middle East. For those of us who have traveled in the Middle East, will know that. So we have to do what we can to make sure that our students are protected. All of our students are protected. Those who are protesting, protesting in good faith, and those who are not protesting, and those who simply want to go to class. Otherwise, we'll have mob rule, anarchy and mob rule. And that is not part and parcel of the democracy. Oh, that wasn't a bad
thing. I agree with you. Yeah, no, Chuck, I agree with you. You know, we got to do a better job without question. A better job. It starts with our educators, and it starts even more so at the top as far as some of these universities are concerned. I know the spotlight will keep upon them as far as hopefully a positive outcome here, but we shall see. Still a lot to overcome. Mr. Chuck Levine getting it done as far as on our program. We look forward to the next time. Charles, it is great having you. Very happy Passover to you, sir. And Jay, we look forward to talking with you soon.
Jay, you get the thanks, and so do your listeners. And let me wish to you and your listeners this thought. As Passover begins this afternoon, let us all pray for freedom and for peace. Thank you, my friend.